Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left.
Guys and gals, it's the Problem Solvers here again on AM 1000 KCEO after a Labor Day break. This is Rob Kramars, one of the two problem solvers, the king of instant equity. The other of our two problem solvers, Jeff Morris, is again out this week solving one of his problems, namely passing a licensing exam. So we expect him back next week. And today I'm really excited to have as a guest our my old friend Adam DeMichael, founder of Sterling Capital One of Newport Beach. He's also known as the king of small business financing.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, that is out of Newport Beach.
That's Newport Beach, California.
I've known Adam for, about 5-6 years now?
At least. Yeah. Feels like longer, Rob.
Yeah. And you've been, all that time, you've been telling me the same story, that you actually help small businesses raise money.
That's correct. That's what we do day in and day out.
And since I found it very hard to raise money for my several small businesses, I'm always amazed that anybody can raise money for a small business, except for a high-tech, fast-growing venture capital kind of financing. How do you do it?
Well, a lot of business owners today, in today's market, find it very challenging. Aside from the traditional sources of financing for small businesses that everybody knows about, which are your credit cards and your home equity, which everybody, including your banker, will say, tap that first, get that money first. A lot of successful transactions actually use that as, and business owners use that as emergency financing for their company. In terms of raising money for companies, there's a lot of different venues for doing so in terms of institutional sources versus private sources.
All right. Well, before we get into the details of what you do, the what's always surprising to me is that you can actually do it. Because everybody I know that has tried to, other than financing through the normal credit cards and family, friends and family, mm-hmm. or the high-tech venture capital, angel capital, seems to beat their head against the wall year after year. Without going into the details at the moment, because I really don't want this to be a commercial. I want the guys and gals out there on the 78 and the 15 and the 5 just to find out more about you as a man. What's the experience like for you of working with these small businesses?
Actually, it's one of the most challenging jobs I've ever had. I started off my career as a senior accountant with Arthur Andersen about 15 years ago. And it was interesting. I was out of the Houston office, and that was my first experience into quote-unquote big business. Mm-hmm. And one of the first jobs I ever worked on was the Enron engagement, famous Enron engagement.
Did you help raise money for Enron?
No. Actually, at that time, I had found out that Enron was not only our tax client and our audit client, but we had a $5 million engagement to run all their internal controls.
All right, let me get this straight. So you worked for Arthur Andersen, which is now defunct.
That's correct. 15 years ago.
Whose major client was Enron, who's also now defunct. And well, you want our audience to have trust in you. How are you going to respond to that?
I have to be a little bit contrite and say, yes, I did work for one of the only audit firms, actually the only company in the country that's ever been indicted for a criminal act. But, back when I was with them, and I also had an offer with Pricewaterhouse, I remember at the time, of course, who would know that Arthur Andersen would ever be engaged in something, except at the time I remember going into the audit partner's office and asking him, I just passed a CPA exam at the time, and I said, it seems like we have a conflict, Rick, that we're actually running the internal controls, and then on the audit side we're actually testing them and getting paid mm-hmm. to sign off as an independent auditor later. And he said, Adam, don't worry, greater minds than yours in Chicago have already wrestled with this problem, and they've decided it's okay for us to take the money. And so I find it ironic and somewhat humorous 15 years later that they actually blew up as and there's a causal causal issue in there where
I don't hold you responsible for the
Enron. Even though I did work for David Duncan, who actually was personally indicted in the scandal, he was one of the managers that I worked for. I only worked there for one day, but it is a funny story.
Oh, you only worked for Arthur Andersen for one day?
No, on the Enron engagement one day. I see. Now, I was with Arthur Andersen for approximately 3 years. In the early 90s.
It does actually add to your glamorous
pedigree
that you actually worked for Arthur Andersen and on the Enron account for one day.
Yes.
They actually found you too honest for the Enron account, so they took you off.
Said,
the
make
account.
Sure this make sure this guy, the staff accountant that you sent over, doesn't come back.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So those are the days when you work for big business. Now you work for small business.
Yes.
I noticed I asked you to bring in some of your so-called tombstones, which I've never understood why, when you're raising money for a business, it's called a tombstone.
I think it's just
some reason for that?
A term of art for closed transactions. They're sort of slam dunked. You brought them home. They're funded. They're done. And they're memorialized as people are memorialized, their lives, with a tombstone.
The difference is that when you raise money for a small business, presumably the business goes on. After you finish the transaction.
Yes, right. Oftentimes I would say that's the forethought.
That's the whole idea.
However, companies get bought, they get sold, they divest, they do lots of things. They spin off, they go public, change names. So there are a lot of different life cycles to companies, just like people.
So when we get back after the break, we can take a break in 2 minutes. I want to hear more about what it was like actually working with some of these companies. I see you have the United. Do you mind if I mention some of these names?
No, you can mention
United
some of the
United Dental Group, New Age Capital, German Car Garage. I know that company.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
They're local.
Actually brought my car, even though I don't have a German car.
There's more companies than that. These are just some of the ones that I have permission to discuss on the air.
Right.
We have to get confidentiality releases.
Total Health Enhancement, I know that company, and so on. H.H. Wilson Sales. It's very interesting. So is there a different story associated with each of these adventures?
Every company's different. Every financing package, every acquisition, sale, merger, divestiture, whatever transaction occurs, they're all different stories. Some of them funnier than others, so you might want to find out which are the funniest before.
I want to find out the funny ones. Because everybody out there that's either in management or owning a small business, I'm sure is very interested in this topic. Because raising money, getting out of stress, getting out from under the pressure of the day-to-day needs is a valuable thing.
Yeah, in fact, in terms of the common denominator amongst the business owners, the main one is their frustration with the bankers.
All right, we'll get to that. I just want to leave a number here with you guys and gals out there. We want to hear from you on the telephone to ask your questions right now directly to Adam DeMichael, the king of small business finance. Call us during the break at 800-292-5236. You'll get Chris here on our board, and he'll transfer the phone right to us. Call 800-292-5236, and we'll take your calls directly. And make those calls tough, controversial, difficult, challenging. I want you to push Adam to his absolute limits. All right?
Because I'm ready.
He's supposedly on your side like he was on Enron's side for that one glorious day.
Money and more. AM 1000 KCEO.
Is a new home or first home in your dreams? But have you also been worried that prices will drop further, leaving you with regrets? There is a no-regrets way to buy a new home or first home now, taking advantage of the large number of homes on the market. As a listener of this program, you can get a free report on how to buy a new home with no regrets. written by yours truly, Rob Kramars, the king of instant equity. Just call 888-232-2869 and leave your contact information. I'll send you my free report on how to buy a new home with no regrets. Just call 888-232-2869. Once again, 888-232-2869. Want to beat up your banker? Are you a business owner or manager under pressure to pay bills and meet payroll? Having trouble getting all the credit you need from your regular bank? Well, now Adam DeMichael, founder of Sterling Capital One, and also known as the King of Small Business Finance, out of Newport Beach, now offers his expertise in raising money for small businesses to our listeners. Adam is now offering our listeners a free telephone consultation on how to raise money for your small business. Just call 888-232-2869 and leave your contact information. You can use this free one-half-hour to one-and-a-half-hour consultation to learn about raising money for any legitimate business purpose. So call 888-232-2869 for your free consultation from Adam DeMichael for raising money for your business. Relieve the pressure. Call 888-232-2869. Please call now.
AM 1000, KCEO, Vista San Diego. Independently owned and operated by the Astor Broadcast Group.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Guys and gals, this is the Problem Solvers back here in San Diego in South Orange County. This is Rob Kramars, the king of instant equity. Jeff Morris is off again today. And we have our really exciting guests. I've known him for a number of years, again, about 5 or 6 years, as I recall. This is Adam DeMichael, the founder of Sterling Capital One out of Newport Beach, also known as the King of Small Business Finance.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. We had a little fun with him in the first segment, in which he revealed for the first time, so far as I knew, that he actually worked on the Enron account for Arthur Andersen for one day. Which I assume, again, they let you go from that account because you were too honest for the account.
You know what? I'm not sure exactly the circumstances therein. I was in the financial and special services group. So I was on loan to the energy division for the one day because I needed a charge number to keep myself chargeable.
It must be a drag to work for a company that's you know, it's so infamous as Arthur Andersen.
As it turns out, in hindsight, it became infamous. At the time, it was prestigious.
It was prestigious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are the big five accountant firms, or big seven, or there are about three of them left at this point?
They've consolidated and merged so much. It used to be the big eight. When the I was there, it was the big six. Mm-hmm. I think there's Price Waterhouse, mm-hmm. Cooper, mm-hmm. Ernst and Young, KPMG, right. Pete Marwick. It used to be Cooper's and Lybrand. Now they've merged with Price Waterhouse.
Well, it's like the banking business now, this year.
Yeah.
We have now Countrywide Bank of America is now one bank.
Well, it used to, like, Touche Ross is now Deloitte and Touche. So they just keep changing. It used to be Deloitte, Haskins, and Sells. I mean, they just keep on consolidating.
It's funny. You know, the business goes through cycles. There's no problem with it. Companies do merge, and then new companies come up to fill the niches that are left behind. Mm-hmm. You have, I'm joking to you guys that got laid off by Countrywide. I do apologize to you. I was part of the mortgage business myself, and it's hard to pass through these tough times. And we'll pass through it. We'll get through it, and we'll get on to the next stage. And the reason why we asked Adam to be on the show today is because I wanted to talk about something very positive in a market that's so uncertain.
Well, and getting back to what you said, Rob, I deal with business owners all the time that are very depressed. They are, mm-hmm. they've been beat up. Mm-hmm. They've gone through the ringer in terms of dealing with, you know, employee payrolls and lawsuits and right. or whatever business issues, you know, falling sales, you know, losing money period to period. And it's always darkest before the dawn. There's always a restructuring tack and a new, either an exit strategy or a new recapitalization and a new plan for them. So don't lose hope. It's just another chapter in your life that you're going through.
going through another chapter. For those of you that are going through that chapter right now as a manager, as an owner, I'd like you to take the opportunity to call Adam. He's the founder of Sterling Capital One. He's actually a pretty accomplished player in the business of small business finance, and there's a lot. He knows so much about the subject. Call him now, if you like, at the station. Here's the number, 800-292-5236. You'll get AM1000, KCEO. Chris is on the board at the moment, and he'll take your calls. Chris, we like to have you come in on some of these conversations. You got to say something once in a while. Yeah, let the guys and gals out there in the 78 and the 5 hear your voice.
Well, the fact of the matter is you guys are talking about stuff that I have no idea.
Yeah, you too can own a small business.
I already do, but...
So there you go. So just ask Adam, what does it take to raise some money for your small business? You can use the opportunity. You're here. This is a free opportunity to ask a question that's burning in your soul. And so that's how everybody is reacting to Adam. You see, it's just a big So instead of having a big pick up the phone. You're sitting in the car. Dial your cell phone. Be careful about traffic. 800-292-5236, and just ask that question that you've been wanting to ask, which I always want to ask, which is, will my business qualify, or how does it take to qualify my business for financing outside of the credit card business, typical business banking relationship?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the frustrations of business owners everywhere, mm-hmm. and we laugh about this all the time, it's a common denominator with respect to business owners, mm-hmm. and that is dealing with bankers. Yep. They want to get back to the C's of lending, the character, the collateral, what mm-hmm. do you have to put up against the monies that mm-hmm. we lend you, mm-hmm. your credit score. Mm-hmm. They want to know about your capacity. In other words, how are you going to repay the money that you borrow? Mm-hmm. They want to go through all their various ratios, and they want to talk about their loan covenants, and then the process is they have you fill out their credit application, and they're always very positive, the loan officer, because they want to get your business, right. And then they drag the business owner through loan committee mm-hmm. for weeks at a time, mm-hmm. and they say, well, we're reviewing this, mm-hmm. and of course, the last shoe to drop is the old personal guarantee. Mm. On the back end of the transaction.
So in other words, it's just like taking out a home loan.
Well, it encumbers your personal. It's not just like it. The business loan, they try to wrap up as much as they can mm-hmm. in the transaction, and then it encumbers your personal financial situation. It impacts your personal credit and your ability to even get a home loan once your personal credit is encumbered with this business loan.
Well, can a small business expect to get a loan without encumbering the owner's personal credit?
No. In the commercial banking business, mm-hmm. all commercial bank transactions, loans, lines of credit, all types of financing packages, mm-hmm. Other than some of their limited credit card offers where they'll send you a credit card for not enough mm-hmm. money for you to operate your business on, it'll be $20,000,
yes.
$50,000. They all require personal guarantees. And even on the credit cards, they already have your personal guarantee when they do that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. It's just a fact of life in the commercial lending business.
All right. So in dealing with some of the companies that you have raised funds for, what kinds of funds are we talking about? We're talking 50 to 100,000? We're talking 500 to a million?
$500,000 to $5 million mm-hmm. is our typical range for a transaction for a small company. But in transactions that Sterling underwrites, mm-hmm. they basically are transactions which are not personally guaranteed by the owner. They're securities offered directly by the corporation. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't. It actually builds and enhances the company's autonomous credit versus the owner's Social Security number.
All right, so I really don't want to get into how this is done. You can talk to Adam personally. One of the things that Adam is offering to our listeners is a 1/2 hour to 1.5 hour free telephone consultation. And you can be eligible for that by leaving your contact information on our 888-232-2869 line. But you can also use the opportunity right now to ask questions directly to Adam if you'll call in at 800-292-5236 at KCEO. That's 800-292-5236, and we'll entertain your questions right here on the air about your small business financing needs. I would like to know, Adam, what was the reaction, what's the reaction of the owners of these businesses when they actually find out that you've succeeded and raised $500,000 to $5 million?
They are...
What's that experience?
Ecstatic. They are relieved. That's probably one of the biggest emotions, that it's finally done and not hanging over their head anymore. They're free to run the business the way they've always dreamed they should be able to run the business, where they can concentrate on what they love to do, which is operations and or sales or a combination of both, rather than most business owners and founders are not financiers by trade. They're usually technical people, an engineer that thought he, you know, could bring more to the business than his previous employers, a cook or a chef that, you know, felt like he could run his own restaurant. And they don't have their own, you know, they're great operational people, they're great technical people, but they are not great financiers.
Right.
And they learn on the job, and it's painful. And as they're learning, they're experiencing all the frustrations that all new business owners do. Another frustration that they didn't know is even to be considered by commercial banks for, you know, packages of fine lines of credit, for instance, $500,000, $1 million line of credit. They're looking for 3 years of tax returns or 3 years of financial statements. Well, it's sort of the chicken and the egg thing. How do you get business credit? How do you raise money for your business and operate 3 years when you don't have the money to do it?
So there's no magic here. You're telling the honest truth of it is that a lot of times you'll have to go through a period of preparation where you're building up the tax returns, the paperwork, the financial reports, the financial history before a company can qualify for a public offering of some kind.
No, companies can actually do offerings prior to that period. That's how a lot of companies get started.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that in order to be banked by a commercial bank, that's another in terms of, you know, all the various ratios that your company has to meet. Okay. And in order to be able to meet their guidelines, they want 3 years of history, and they want all their C's of lending to be met. And once those ratio analyses and everything are met, what often happens is the business owners don't need the money anymore. By the time you're that solvent and your receivables turnover ratio is that great and your cash flow is that great, why do you need the banker? You needed the banker 3 years ago when you were starting up to get you rolling when you were struggling, not after the war's over and the smoke's clearing. And they come in and say, oh, now we're ready to lend you money.
I see. Well, it's exciting. I know as a prior small business owner, I had wished I had made use of, frankly, of a guy like you about 15, 16 years ago when we needed to raise money. And it's the kind of fundraising you do would have been perfect for 1776 Software, which was my company back in the 90s.
Yes.
Well, listen, guys and dolls out there on 78 and the 5, this is the Problem Solvers with Adam DeMichel, the founder of Sterling Capital One, right here in the studio. And this is AM 1000 KCEO. Do call in with your questions for Adam. We're going to take a short break here for the news. Your number for calling in is 800-292-5236. This is the Problem Solvers signing off here at the bottom of the hour. And we'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes.
Money and more. AM 1000 KCEO.
Flick. The top U.S. commander in Iraq says the additional troops sent for the surge could be home by next July, but General David Petraeus is cautioning against further American withdrawals.
Political progress will take place only if sufficient security exists. Long-term U.S. ground force viability will benefit from force reductions as the surge runs its course. Regional, global, and cyberspace initiatives are critical to success.
Petraeus and U.S. Ambassador to Iraq Ryan Crocker testified before a joint House panel. The session was interrupted numerous times by protesters. On his 25th birthday, a man has been sentenced to 24 years in prison for attending an al-Qaeda training camp. Prosecutors say Hamid Hayat planned to attack numerous targets in California. Counterterrorism experts warn on this day before the September 11th anniversary, terrorists remain determined to attack. New information on the race for the White House, Senator Hillary Clinton's campaign is planning to return $850,000 in donations raised by Norman Hsu. This is CNN Radio.
Home in your dreams, but have you also been worried that prices will drop further, leaving you with regrets? There is a no-regrets way to buy a new home or first home now, taking advantage of the large number of homes on the market. As a listener of this program, you can get a free report on how to buy a new home with no regrets, written by yours truly, Rob Kramars, the king of instant equity. Just call 888-232-2869 and leave your contact information. I'll send you my free report on how to buy a new home with no regrets. Just call 888-232-2869. Once again, 888-232-2869. Want to beat up your banker? Are you a business owner or manager under pressure to pay bills and meet payroll? Having trouble getting all the credit you need from your regular bank? Well, now Adam DeMichael, founder of Sterling Capital One, and also known as the King of Small Business Finance, out of Newport Beach, now offers his expertise in raising money for small businesses to our listeners. Adam is now offering our listeners a free telephone consultation on how to raise money for your small business. Just call 888-232-2869 and leave your contact information. You can use this free one-half-hour to one-and-a-half-hour consultation to learn about raising money for any legitimate business purpose. So call 888-232-2869 for your free consultation from Adam DeMichael for raising money for your business. Relieve the pressure. Call 888-232-2869. Please call now.
AM 1000, KCEO, Vista San Diego. Independently owned and operated by the Astor Broadcast Group.
This is the Problem Solvers on AM 1000, KCEO. This is Rob Kramars, the king of instant equity. And we've been talking here for the last half hour with Adam DeMichael, who I'm really happy to be on here today because he's an old friend, but also he's a very powerful, prestigious guy. He's the founder of Sterling Capital One. That's Sterling Capital One out of Newport Beach and is also known as the King of Small Business Finance. And the reason I'm really happy because there's a Adam, before you get on, I just want to say this. The reason I'm really happy is that there's so much concern now about the housing market and the so-called credit crunch and
yes.
What's going to happen to the stock market and all the volatility. Meanwhile, you have so many people out there slugging it out in the small business market.
Yes.
And wondering, and there's actually more money now than ever for your non-housing transactions.
There's a lot of money out there. The question is positioning your business to be able to tap into it. There's a lot of money available for mid-sized businesses and larger businesses. One of the things I think are maybe misconceptions out there in the market is that there's all this venture capital money out there available.
But you're not involved with venture capital. It's totally
no. I know venture capitalists, but as a general rule, we don't deal with them. And the reason why is because they're looking for equity pieces and they're looking for transactions that are minimum $5 million and up.
And you're dealing on the $50,000 to
$500,000 to $5 million.
So that's a good range for a typical small business, as I would understand it. But before we go ahead, let me give the number here. We want you guys to call up and ask your questions while you have the chance directly to Adam here at the station. The number at AM 1000 KCEO is 800-292-5236. And Chris, our producer, will answer the phone and pass the call right to here at the microphone. So, Adam, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, navigating the treacherous waters when you get in the waters with sharks like venture capitalists, they're looking for an equity or an ownership piece of your business. Mm-hmm. Let's say a third of your business for $5 to $10 million, right. Assuming that you're a large enough business to command that kind of money. And they're looking to obviously lock that up so that the next round of financing, because financing of companies is done in rounds as you grow through your company's life cycle, you can actually be set up to lose control of your business. We always recommend debt, borrowing the money versus equity or selling stock in your business as the way to go if possible, because it's always cheaper. Why is it always cheaper? Because you can repay the debt. You have a new partner for life once you consummate that transaction and sell them stock. That's why small business owners have to be very careful. Even you mentioned friends and family earlier, Rob, and it was funny. You have to be careful not to give away too much, even to your friends or family when you're starting up. It's better to borrow the money.
I'm a little confused because I do know about at least one of your clients here who happens to be a friend and client of mine. And I know he did a public offering where he actually sold stock in the company.
In that situation,
yeah.
He actually did a, well, it started off as a private offering, and he did sell stock privately, and then there was a quiet period, and then he is actually being listed now in the pink sheets of the NASD.
But that's a case of somebody who actually sold stock.
He sold stock, and he needed more capital in his business, and that was part of the, you know, the overall capital structure of his company.
Really what you're saying is that he had his company was so popular that he didn't have to give away a majority of the ownership in the company in order to raise a significant amount of money.
He did not
lose control of the company.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, this is less than, this is about approximately 16% of the company. Right. So it's not a material dilution.
There are cases where a company may be so attractive to the investor that it would pay for them to sell stock, but only a small percentage of the stock.
Yes, because, well, in his case, the company sold, the stock was selling at such a premium because of the exciting opportunities on the horizon for the company.
Exactly.
A lot of companies that aren't in such a sexy nutraceutical market, they can't take advantage of the multiples where companies are trading and get the price that they really would like to sell their stock at. Mm-hmm. So in terms of a restructuring, or in terms of just getting a refinancing money into your business to navigate a tough stretch of time for your company, selling stock at a discount is not advisable. But obviously, if you can sell stock at a premium, depending on the valuation, that's a different story.
So I'm a little lost on the technical terminology here, but rather than explain it, you guys that are out there on the 5 and the 15 and the 78 and the 76, boy, that's a lot of numbers. Here's some more numbers. Call the station. Ask your questions directly to Adam here at 800-292-5236, and we'll entertain your questions on the air. So what you're driving at is some companies are qualified to raise money by a stock offering. Others are better suited to raising money through borrowing. Who are they borrowing the money from?
They're borrowing the money largely through private accredited investors.
I see. So you still have investors, but they're simply loaning money instead of buying stock.
That's correct.
What kind of interest rates are they requiring?
In that market, they're subprime interest rates.
Oh, that's a dangerous word.
Yes.
So we don't mean subprime.
We don't mean the subprime mortgage market. But the interest rates range between 15 to 21%.
Ouch. Okay. So yes. It's like a credit card loan from a private individual.
They want to make money. The lenders, the private investors, they want to make money too.
So that's really not subprime. That's hard money loaning, lending.
Well, that's nomenclature.
I see. So do these
mezzanine lenders charge 30. So it depends on where you
now. These lenders are right here in Southern California. You don't have to go back east to Chicago or New York.
Some of them are nationwide, but I would say more than three-fourths of them are right here.
Listen, I do not want to send our listeners to the back of a pizza parlor in Brooklyn.
No.
That's important. Okay, we have to keep it right. You know, right here.
No
pizza parlor
local.
Here. Okay, is okay though.
Yes. Well. We don't have any pizza parlors as investors. They're all private individuals, trusts, pension funds, so, you know, various sources that are looking to place monies on a diversified basis.
What is an accredited investor?
Oh, an accredited investor is, there's a lot of statutory definitions in terms of banks and holding companies and things like that. I don't want to get into that, but just for simplicity purposes, it's an individual with a net worth of $1 million or, if you're married, approximately $300,000 in joint income.
I see, either or.
Either or.
Now, the $100,000, the $1 million in assets does not include your home, as I understand it.
That's my understanding. I'd have to go back and read through the, there's a lot of details on the statutes, exclusions, inclusions, and basically the investors sign off. And most investors that are true angel investors, they're multimillionaires, and they far outpace the minimum requirements.
All right, so there you found that there are many investors that are willing to provide funds for small businesses at the 15% to 20% rate on a loan basis. Right here in Southern California.
Yes.
I see. How very interesting. So it's really just a question of finding an investor who believes in you and believes in your business.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And is there a way to reach these investors that's well established? Is a website or a
There's a lot of websites, mm-hmm. but I think the most important thing for business owners to know is that nobody just finds you with a bucket of money and just shows up and says, we want to invest in your business. Business owners have to actively solicit and reach out and prepare private placement memorandum packages and prepare packages and solicit their investment dollars and reach out to them. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the facilitation that any financial company will provide with respect to business owners.
I would take it for this is not like a high-tech angel capital round where you've simply gotten an idea and a patent and no product is yet on the market. I would take it that the businesses that you can raise money for in this way are already up and running.
Yes, the businesses in this way would be businesses in their infancy. Let's say a year to a year and a half old. They've already got established sales, customers. They've already got their intellectual property in place.
Do they need to be profitable?
No, they don't need to be profitable. They have to have a some kind of a track record. Uh-huh. They also need mm-hmm. it helps if they have in terms of their strategic plan mm-hmm. where the company is projecting they can see, you know, $5 million in sales next year or $1 million in sales next year that they could do if they only had $200,000 now to buy inventory or something else.
You know what I really find exciting about this, Adam, is that you look at the names of the companies. You have a sales company, a garage, a distribution company, a vitamin company, who, by the way, deals in vitamins primarily for horses, which I find really interesting.
Yeah. Well, nutraceutical, aerospace manufacturing.
But these are all businesses that are family type businesses or lifestyle businesses. They're businesses that are, maybe the word lifestyle is not the right name, but these are not your glamorous, high-flying medical products company or robotics or software company.
Or biotech.
Right. These are just companies that are the bedrock of civilization here in Southern California. And they can and do obtain financing on a regular basis to grow, to refinance, or to simply relieve some of the pressure
we've actually gotten private financing mm-hmm. even for construction companies, general contractors mm-hmm. that are frustrated with their retentions being held back. That, you know, with every contract, the general contractor will hold out their retentions payable to the subcontractor. So if you have a structural concrete contractor, all their profits could be wrapped up in a project for 18 months, but the money's coming.
Call in with your questions for Adam at 800-292-5236 here on The Problem Solvers on AM 1000 KCEO.
Money and more. AM 1000 KCEO.
Is a new home or first home in your dreams? But have you also been worried that prices will drop further, leaving you with regrets? There is a no-regrets way to buy a new home or first home now, taking advantage of the large number of homes on the market. As a listener of this program, you can get a free report on how to buy a new home with no regrets, written by yours truly, Rob Kramars, the king of instant equity. just call 888-232-2869 and leave your contact information. I'll send you my free report on how to buy a new home with no regrets. Just call 888-232-2869. Once again, 888-232-2869. Want to beat up your banker? Are you a business owner or manager under pressure to pay bills and meet payroll? Having trouble getting all the credit you need from your regular bank? Well, now Adam DeMichael, founder of Sterling Capital One, and also known as the King of Small Business Finance, out of Newport Beach, now offers his expertise in raising money for small businesses to our listeners. Adam is now offering our listeners a free telephone consultation on how to raise money for your small business. Just call 888-232-2869 and leave your contact information. You can use this free one-half-hour to one-and-a-half-hour consultation to learn about raising money for any legitimate business purpose. So call 888-232-2869 for your free consultation from Adam DeMichael for raising money for your business. Relieve the pressure. Call 888-232-2869. Please call now.
AM 1000, KCEO, Vista San Diego. Independently owned and operated by the Astor Broadcast Group.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Take this banker and shove it. That's exactly how I felt for many years running a software company, 1776 Software, and going to small banks. The most we actually raised $250,000, but it was with personal guarantees.
Yes.
And I had no idea. Maybe it wasn't even available in those days. But I had no idea what you do. Let me just introduce to the guys and gals just joining the show here. This is Rob Kramars, the King of Instant Equity, here on the Problem Solvers on AM 1000 KCEO. You can call in and ask questions to Adam DeMichael, who is the founder of Sterling Capital One in Newport Beach, and also known as the King of Small Business Finance. And he's an old friend also, and I'm thrilled to have him here on the station. So, but take the opportunity before you get on there and call Adam and ask your questions about how to finance your small business. That's 800-292-5236.
Getting back to your experience, Rob, at the $250,000 line of credit, we had a transaction within the last 18 months where we took out a $250,000 line of credit that a business owner had had. And it's a well-known, let's call it a well-founded bank that everyone knows of that actually did the transaction, and a money center bank. And he had a commercial property in Huntington Beach. He had his home in the same area, and then a business in Long Beach. And what they did is they had him personally guarantee the loan. They put his business in Long Beach on it, and they put a lien against his commercial property in Huntington Beach. Now, they had him three ways. All he had to do was go and refi that commercial property in Huntington Beach, and he would have had the money, and he could have put the money in his business himself. But they got him three ways to Sunday so that when he needed more money, he was back to our well-founded bank on his knees looking for more money. Fortunately, we found him as he was in his, throes of having a –
Would you call that a turnaround situation?
In this situation, it was on the upswing of a turnaround, and it was just prior to an acquisition. He actually sold his business to another person.
Now, would raising money be something you'd want to do just prior to an acquisition to prepare the company for an acquisition?
In his case, they were all wrapped together in one financial transaction, and the debt was assumed by the new owner. So it was a basically designed to get the selling owner out of his encumbered debt position where he was tied into the deal personally.
Got it. Now I understand what you're talking
about.
Yeah. It makes sense. Look, there's a lot of money that had been going into home mortgages in the last couple of years that is not now going into home mortgages. And I know that's tough on you guys that are looking for home mortgages. But it actually, it seems to, what I've been reading, it makes it a lot easier to raise money for other kinds of financing, such as small business financing, because the money has to go someplace, has to be invested somewhere. And you're actually talking about what's essentially a subprime loan for a small business.
Yes.
At 15 to 20% interest rates, which is a tough pill to swallow, but it's not, if you have to have it, you have to have that pill.
Yes. It depends. You know what? It also depends. Some businesses are highly profitable if they have the money to finance their operation. So even that interest rate, if you say an 18% interest rate, it's a point and a half per month. If the companies are highly profitable, they're not concerned. They could be making 15% per month. It's not a material cost of their profitability for their operation.
Yeah, if you're making a more than a point and a half a month, it makes sense to expand the business by borrowing money at that rate.
Yes.
It's a good risk to take. But a company that's only marginally profitable and it just wants to get itself out of its current encumbrances, how can you afford to take out a loan at 15 to 20%?
Well, that gets back to doing our homework and making sure that the companies can afford to borrow the money.
They have
to be able to have that the ability to service that debt.
In other words, you would not recommend people do with what finance companies have been doing the last couple of years and allowing people to buy homes who truly cannot afford to pay the mortgage after the first couple of years?
No, absolutely not. And in those situations, if we identify a company that's in that type of situation, there actually may be a restructure and in combination with equity money going in the business first to get the thing restructured to a nominal level of operation and profitability prior to doing any type of funding on a debt side. We have to identify that the company can afford it. We don't want to do something and fund a company that's going to push them further underwater just, 10 months down the road.
Now, I've heard of transactions known as convertible transactions where you have sell stock, but it can be converted to debt or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Right, at the option of a lender.
Those are hybrid transactions. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit more complex, mm-hmm. but oftentimes it makes sense to, in order to entice investors to do it, especially if it's a really great story. Mm-hmm. If the company's newer, it mm-hmm. gives them a little taste of that high end return in the future, mm-hmm. or something that's a really somebody has a really big hit on the way, and everyone wants to participate in that long run success of the company. There'll be a conversion feature in there where they can convert and take a piece of equity in the business.
Well, it gets pretty complex, and I can see there are a lot of variables involved. It sounds like every business is a different story, a different formula, a different opportunity.
And not only different stories, mm-hmm. they're in different life cycles of mm-hmm. their lives. Some are on the upside, some are on the downside, looking towards exit. Some are in the middle, and they're growing.
Now, have you handled all these different kinds of circumstances?
Yes.
A turnaround, a near-death situation, a company that is in profitable situation but wants to grow more quickly. You've handled both of those.
Yeah,
and
sales and exits at the end mm-hmm. for the owners that have built and worked these businesses all their lives. So there's just all different solutions and all different stories for each transaction that gets done.
As you may have heard on one of our breaks, Adam is offering for our listeners a half an hour to 1.5 hour free phone consultation on the methods and opportunities for raising money for your small business. If you'll leave your contact information on our free recorded message line at 888-232-2869, leave your contact information there. You'll be eligible. In fact, you will receive a half an hour to an hour and a half free phone consultation directly with Adam DeMichael. Or you can take the opportunity to call right here at the station. And that number is 800-292-5236 here at KCEO. And you can talk directly to Adam right now and ask your questions. And the kinds of questions I know I would have is, does my business qualify? Is my business the kind of business that can actually raise money?
If your business has value, in other words, if it has sales mm-hmm. and it has the potential, doesn't have to be profitable currently, mm-hmm. And or if it has assets that could be borrowed against immediately, inventory, accounts, receivables, property, plant, and equipment, those are all things that are financing vehicles And they don't have to. They don't have to exist in that form. Some businesses of the listeners out there will have those types of assets. Some won't. It doesn't mean it's not a doable transaction. There are unsecured transactions, which we call debentures, is the term of art, and that I think it's the Latin for unsecured transaction.
Folks, Adam actually worked for his client was Enron for one day for Arthur. Well, he worked for Arthur Andersen back in the 90s, right?
Yeah, I was a senior.
So he has a right to use a term like debentures.
The corporate finance.
on the radio here in San Diego. Yeah, but I get it. It's Latin for debenture, which means...
Yeah, that's the French.
That's the French word.
The French of your Latin. Oh, something Rob, like you're killing me.
Well, we have to keep... We just look. This is not a MBA program for finance majors, so we don't have to be...
I understand that, but I think that the business people listening out there get the idea that there's a lot of sources of funds available, institutional and private, available to their businesses, mm-hmm. that if they haven't explored them, it's their fiduciary duty to make sure their business is operated properly.
We've used the word debenture and fiduciary within 5 minutes of each other. Now that's it.
No, I get three before I fouled out of the game. I thought I got five fouls.
I told you can't use any of those seven so-called words. Well, those are two of them.
Fiduciary means a trust position in the company, and they have a duty to explore these things as they do to manage the business properly and their employees and everything else.
Is fiduciary Italian or French?
Latin.
Latin, right?
Yes.
Fiduciary, yes. Mm-hmm.
From the Latin root, Fido.
Fido is my dog's name is not Fido, but there's a similarity. You trust your dog.
The pseudonym, Furieri.
Adam's actually not only is he a very good-looking guy, but he's also a tennis player. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of him. We've just finished the U.S. Open.
I was out at the U.S. Open in Arthur Ashe Stadium for the first week of the U.S. Open. It was absolutely great weather, and it was a great time out there seeing all the. I've been playing tennis for about 30 years.
30 years, and I hope you do your accounting a little bit better. I hope you do your accounting a little bit better than than you play tennis, Adam.
I do, but I'm pretty good on the tennis court too. I played college tennis, and I actually have done well ever since I've actually won La Costa here locally. You know,
you lived in San Diego.
No, I've lived in I live in Newport Beach.
Newport Beach, but you lived down in this area, didn't you?
No.
Was that you? Oh, that wasn't you. Right.
No, that was somebody else. Some other guest that you had on.
Oh, that's the one next week we have on. It lives in San Diego.
Oh. Yeah. I just travel around and play the local San Diego tennis tournaments.
So that's what it is.
Well,
La Costa, that's a prestigious tournament.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm really proud of that championship.
I watched you play tennis once. It was quite a sight. You lumbering around the court like an old man. Pretending that you're a young
lumbering. I don't like that adjective. That's I kind of thought I was supposed to be cat-like with my reflexes and moving like a cheetah.
Well, that's how you are in business. Yeah. Cat-like,
nimble, huh?
Nimble. That's yeah. It's all about. Frankly, I'm impressed by what you've accomplished. I honestly am. This is you perform a valuable service, and I personally am interested in seeing how it works out for some of our clients. Once again, guys and gals, this is Adam DeMichael is our guest here on the Problem Solvers. He's the founder of Sterling Capital One. We call him the king of small business finance. And you can get acquainted with him personally by leaving your contact information at 888-232-2869. This is the Problem Solvers signing off. This is Rob Kramars, the king of instant equity. We'll see you next week.
Coming at you in true monophonic sound. AM 1000. KCEO. Vista, San Diego.